From Hollywood, America's largest selling deodorant, Arid, presents the Motion Picture Authority, Jimmy Fiddler. Does your deodorant really protect you from offending others? Does it really protect your clothes? Is it really safe for your skin?
Or are you half safe?
Or are you half safe?
Don't be half safe. Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure. Remember, new Arid's exclusive formula protects you better. Tests of all leading brands prove that no other deodorant, only Arid, stops perspiration and deodorizes so completely, yet so safely.
Don't be half safe.
Don't be half safe.
Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure. And now here's Jimmy Fiddler.
This is Jimmy Fiddler in Hollywood reminding certain stars that they might not have big checkbooks if it weren't for the people with little autograph books. Exclusive, Michael O'Shea has gone to New York to effect a property settlement with his estranged wife. That done, the O'Sheas will seek a Nevada divorce to be followed immediately by Michael's marriage to Virginia Mayo. Exclusive, Washington, D.C. Former Secretary of State James Burns will be invited to act as conciliator in the five-month-old film strike. Bulletin. 65-year-old Hugh Southern, former New York stage star and now a screen character actor, has entered St. Vincent's Hospital for a major operation. Exclusive, Joe Louis, the heavyweight champ, will arrive here next week to confer with Frank Sinatra on a proposed business partnership to stage championship boxing bouts in Los Angeles. If a deal gels, Louis, as part of the contract, will defend his own title here in July. Hollywood, if it ain't love, why did Joan Crawford give Hollywood attorney Greg Belzer a brand new automobile? Hollywood, another movie cowboy will join radio in March when Bill Boyd will go on the air in a weekly program based on the exploits of his screen character, Hopalong Cassidy. Exclusive, Peggy Lloyd, 19-year-old daughter of comedy star Harold Lloyd, will marry Bartlett Ross, a Los Angeles socialite, in June. I'm informed that Miss Lloyd's parents have not approved the union. Hollywood, unless an out-of-court settlement is effected, June Haver may sue a local beauty parlor where a defective wave machine allegedly burned off part of the star's hair. Americans in the news. Each week, I invite a motion picture star to scan the news and to select that event which, in the opinion of the star, has the greatest emotional appeal. To the citizen hero of each such story, I present a 21-jewel, $225 Bulova watch, plus a $50 savings bond. This week, Nelson Eddy is my Americans in the News reporter. Eddy chose as his favorite the story of Wesley Enquist, 17-year-old infantile paralysis victim of Fremont, Nebraska. Wesley, in a wheelchair equipped with rubber tires and a headlight, traveled 2,500 miles from his home to Warm Springs, Georgia, to seek treatment for his disease. The courageous youngster paid for his trip, which took more than 4 months, by selling razor blades and pencils en route. To Wesley Enquist, who furnished Nelson Eddy with a thrill story of the week, I take pleasure in presenting the Jimmy Fiddler Americans in the News Award. Exclusive, George Sanders, who's seeking a reconciliation with his wife, this week said that if he fails, he'll go to England after completing his role in Forever Amber, will make 6 pictures there, then will retire and live near London. New York City, Helen O'Connell, radio singing star, has dated the Stark for June. Bulletin, Douglas Smith, son of Pete Smith, who produces movie shorts, is in St. John's Hospital, Santa Monica, for a serious leg bone operation. Bulletin, MGM, reportedly alarmed by the slump in Van Johnson's fan following, will spend $1 million on a press campaign to rebuild the star. Hollywood, Jean Brooks, leading lady of the Falcon Pictures, but retired for the past year due to illness, yesterday revealed that she's been secretly married for several months to William Lansford, a writer. New York City, a major advertising agency is negotiating with Humphrey Bacall and Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart to co-star on a husband and wife radio serial. Mexico City, newspapers in the Mexican capital report that Dolores Del Rio either is secretly married to Tito Junco, a Mexican actor, or intends to marry him soon. Hollywood, due to a series of colds and fevers, which has seriously undermined Barbara Stanwyck's health, doctors have ordered the star to the desert for a long rest. Hollywood, Janet Waldo, who plays Corliss Archer on the air, and Robert E. Lee, a radio producer, who recently broke their engagement, have again changed their minds and will be married soon. Hollywood, Helen Walker, who suffered major injuries in an auto crash near Palm Springs, has been moved to St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. Meanwhile, witnesses have testified that Miss Walker had only one drink before dinner, which was hours before her accident. Here in Hollywood, thousands of people make glamour their business. Here's news about a precaution they take.
Ladies and gentlemen, does your deodorant really protect you from offending others? Does it really protect your clothes? Is it really safe for your skin?
Or are you half safe?
Or are you half safe?
Don't be half safe. Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure. Only Arid's exclusive formula gives you this three-way protection. First, Arid really protects you from offending. Tests of all leading brands prove no other deodorant, only Arid, stops perspiration and deodorizes so completely, yet so safely. Second, Arid is really safe for finest fabrics, greaseless, stainless, stops perspiration, so prevents stains. Wins American Institute of Laundering seal, harmless to fabrics. Third, Arid is really safe for your skin, report leading skin specialists. Gentle, antiseptic. More nurses, more men and women everywhere use Arid than any other deodorant. Get new Arid, 39 cents plus tax. So smooth, so creamy, so easy to apply. Protects clothes, skin, popularity.
Don't be half safe.
Don't be half safe.
Be Arid safe. Use Arid to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure.
Intimate notes of my little black book. Open letter to the President of the United States. Dear Mr. President, I know I speak for millions when I express regret that you have terminated the annual President's Ball inaugurated by the late Franklin Delano Roosevelt in behalf of the National Infantile Paralysis Fund. But I refuse to believe the ridiculous report issued by a Washington columnist that this charity ball was canceled because Hollywood stars, jealous of the attention Margaret O'Brien and Van Johnson received last year, would not attend. Mr. President, I have talked with the stars who went to Washington last year, and while some did express envy, there was nothing so serious that they would not welcome an invitation to go again. Hollywood has its shortcomings, but few stars ever hold back when called upon in behalf of charity. I'd stake my life that none would refuse were you again to honor them with invitations to visit Washington to aid the March of Dimes. I urge that you reconsider, Mr. President. It may be too late to plan a ball this year, but you could make it your business to perpetuate this annual humanitarian event for the future. Also, if I may be so bold as to suggest, I think you owe it to Hollywood to make a public statement disproving the charge made by that Washington columnist that petty jealousy among the stars brought an end to this annual ball. That's a slur against the entire film colony, which you should refute. Yours with a final reminder that the annual birthday ball, which benefited President Roosevelt's favorite charity, should live always as a memorial to the good he did, Jimmy Fiddler. Before June Allison, who never wears hats, went to New York, Dick Powell insisted that she must buy a chapeau. "I don't like them," protested June. "If you want me to wear one, you buy it." So Powell went to John Frederick, who designed the hat with which Miss Allison was delighted. A few days later, June received four more hats from John Frederick, all precisely like the original except in color. When she complained, Dick replied, "But honey, you said you liked the first one. That's why I ordered four more." If you saw the picture, The Razor's Edge, you may remember the scene in which Gene Tierney seized Herbert Marshall's arm and said in a very tragic voice, "He's gone away." The night I attended this film, someone in the audience, who apparently was as bored as I was, muttered loudly enough to cause a big laugh in the theater, "Yeah, and I wish I were too." Last week at RKO, so many children and their parents reported for tests for two juvenile roles in Eddie Cantor's new picture, it became necessary to close off the test stage with a canvas wall. So it happened that Cantor, on leaving the set for a moment, came upon a precocious youngster watching the test through a hole in the canvas. "Shame on you," said Eddie jokingly. "What would your mother say if she caught you spying this way?" "Why don't you ask her?" replied the kid. "That's my mom at the next peephole." Attention, please, to this editorial. The public response to my open letter to Bob Hope, in which I begged him to eliminate double-meaning wisecracks from his radio program, has gratified me because it indicates that the public and I think alike with regard to Hope. I don't mean merely that those listeners think as I do that Bob's programs could stand whitewashing. That's been too apparent to need confirmation. What pleases me is that the public has expressed its fondness for Hope along with its regret that he's permitted brash innuendos to creep into his air shows. My open letter to Bob, chiding him for something which I believe is damaging his radio program, was not an attack. It was only advice intended to call his attention to the risque trend. I wrote to him, as I might have written to my best friend or my brother, and I'm pleased that the public so understood me. Bob has performed many fine American-spirited acts. His unexcelled record as a war entertainer and his willingness to give freely of his time, money, and talents to charity, often at severe cost to his health, are things people won't forget in weighing their opinion of the comedy star. I believe the public, even as I, hesitated to criticize him, hoping as I did that he himself would become aware of the trend the show had taken and would call to halt. Only when I became convinced that Bob was not aware did I write him an open letter. I'm a poor judge of character if, now that Bob does know, he doesn't take immediate steps to refine his material. One Man's Opinion, a department featuring this reporter's views on happenings in Hollywood. According to an announcement made this week, the fireworks will be eliminated from the Lorraine Day Ray Hendricks divorce suit now that Hendricks has withdrawn his sensational charges involving Leo DeRocher. That's fine, but a little late. The damage has already been done. It's a simple matter to remove ugly charges from court records. Unfortunately, there's no way to erase from public minds the suspicion of scandal that now stains Miss Day's otherwise spotless reputation. A Japanese scientist who uses music to throw fish into such a trance that they can be scooped out of the water by hand has been credited with a brand new idea. Frankly, I have my doubts about its newness. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Jap conceived his idea of musically hypnotizing fish until they don't know what they're doing simply by observing the effect on Bobby Fox girls of Frank Sinatra's singing. Lawrence Tierney returned to the headlines last week as a result of a fistfight in a New York hotel. This was the actor's sixth public scrape, and he's been arrested several times on drunk charges. Now, I've found Tierney to be a pleasant, likable sort of chap when he's sober. Trouble is, he isn't sober as much as I'd like him to be. Sometimes I think he should be seeing a doctor instead of a judge. Two of Hollywood's female columnists are again feuding. One insists that Greer Garson will wear tights in the forthcoming picture. The other insists that Greer will not. The lady columnists have carried their hostilities to the point where one of them has proposed in print that the other should have her head examined. The whole silly matter leads me to this suggestion. Since Miss Garson's picture will have a circus background, why not include the two fighting columnists in the cast? They're beginning to look like naturals for one of the cat acts. Congratulations are due Kate Smith, Kay Kaiser, and Parker Carter for joining the nationwide campaign for better salaries to school teachers. The future of America depends upon boys and girls now attending school. It's imperative that their education be in the hands of competent instructors. It's more imperative that these instructors be contented and that they believe in the honesty of our country. That's a lot to ask of teachers who spend years preparing for their jobs and find themselves in the most underpaid profession in the world. Pick of the pictures. The best picture of the week is Sinbad the Sailor. A three-bell picture starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara. It's disappointing that Doug's first movie since the war couldn't have been better. But kids will enjoy the spirit of adventure put over by Fairbanks' magnetic personality. As strictly escapist film fare, I recommend Sinbad the Sailor. News highlights of the week in review. Dane Clark separated from his wife. Catholic and Protestant groups filed protests against Duel in the Sun, which they termed morally offensive. Nancy Guilde called off plans to wed Edward Lasker, millionaire Easterner. Joan Barry, who won a court fight to have Charlie Chaplin declared the legal father of her child, revealed her 3-month secret marriage to a Pittsburgh man. Mrs. Herbert Marshall obtained a divorce in Juarez, Mexico. Jean Gabin denied published reports of his marriage to a French actress. Anita Louise revealed an August date with a thought. Jean Tierney filed suit here to divorce Oleg Cassini. Jack Benny and Mary Livingston celebrated their 20th wedding anniversary. Annabella announced a postponement of her divorce action against Tyrone Power until next fall. Jack Dempsey and Hannah Williams called off reconciliation plans. George Kraft retained Jerry Giesler, famous criminal lawyer, to handle his defense in the $300,000 assault and battery suit filed against him by a Hartford attorney. That's all for now. I'll be back with you at the same time next week. To Len, this is Jimmy Fiddler saying good luck to you. And I do mean you.
Joan Rock, Gertrude Meeker, Paul Bruce. Glamour is there. These stars must use the children as safe for their expensive clothes, safe for their lovely skin, safe for their famous charm. And they choose new Arid four-way protection. No other deodorant acid, only Arid stops perspiration and deodorizes so completely, yet so safely. Lifestyle stars, more men and women, more nurses use Arid than any other deodorant. Get new Arid.
Don't be happy.
Don't be
Arid say. Use Arid to be sure.
To be sure.
To be sure. Stay tuned to this station for a policewoman based on the thrilling adventures of Mary Sullivan, former New York police officer.